Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated January 11th, 2019. We'll start today's reading on the front page with Central Illinois weather. Crews ready for snow assaults. Storm could bring up to 7 inches of snow. Decatur. Street crews are preparing for a winter storm that could drop up to 7 inches of snow across central Illinois this weekend. Daniel Mendenhall, the city's municipal services manager, said the department's approach to clearing city streets during the winter storm will ultimately depend on how much snow the area could get. He said a decision on whether crews will attack the snow by spreading salt or plowing will likely be made sometime this afternoon. Mendenhall said the Municipal Services Department has the ability to send out 18 trucks on the road during the winter storms. Once trucks are deployed, he said they'll work to clear the main roads first, then make their way to residential areas. Crews already had been working to spread salt brine on the streets since early Thursday morning, Mendenhall said. If we do get enough snow, the salt brine doesn't allow the snow to bond to the pavement, he said. A winter storm watch will go into effect Friday evening and continue through late Saturday night, said forecasters with the National Weather Service in Lincoln. Decatur is expected to receive about 6 inches of snow, while the Taylorville area could see 7 inches. Travel will be rough over most of central Illinois, said Ed Scheiman, a meteorologist with the Weather Service. Basically, that's all the way from Interstate 80 south to Interstate 64 near St. Louis. Mendenhall said that in order for the road crews to clear the streets as quickly and efficiently as possible, people are encouraged to avoid driving if they don't have anywhere to be. More vehicles on the road slows us down, he said. If people can stay home, we can get it done as fast as we can. The roads will be a lot safer, and there will be a lot less fewer chances for accidents. Macon County Engineer Bruce Byrd said that the County Highway Department anticipates having crews working to clear roads from early Saturday to the end of Sunday evening. One thing that Byrd says the department is keeping an eye on is how much wind the storm is supposed to bring, as it makes clearing the roads tougher, especially out on the countryside. Regardless, he said, the department will have the manpower and the equipment to get the job done. No matter how much snow we get, we'll take care of it, Byrd said. Thursday's high temperature will be around 28 degrees, and clouds will move in through Friday with a high near 35. The snow is expected to arrive late tonight. Saturday's high will be around 32 degrees. Winds will be out of the east on Saturday and Sunday, and some gusts as high as 15 miles an hour. The sky will clear as next week begins and temperatures will warm up slightly, hitting 37 degrees by Wednesday. Decatur Airport Director Tim Wright said crews are also prepared to clear the facility's runways of snow once the storm hits. He said that they'll likely have 8 people working different equipment working during the snowfall and will be closely monitoring forecasts and other weather data throughout the storm. We're well prepared for snow events since we do live in the snowbelt area, Wright said. Wright suggests anyone scheduled to fly on Cape Air during the snowfall should reach out to the airline about cancellations. Ticket holders can check the status of their flights either by calling Cape Air at 1-800-227-3247. That's 800-227-3247, Cape Air. Or visiting www.capeair.com. Doppler disturbance. Wind turbines can create interference, meteorologists say. Lincoln, check the weather app on your smartphone in the middle of a clear day and you might be surprised to see weather conditions forming in the northwest part of Macon County. That's not a sign of inclement weather. Rather, meteorologists say, it's a side effect of new wind farms cropping up across central Illinois. The massive size of the turbines, sometimes taller than 400 feet, and the wind they generate can create interference on nearby Doppler radar, said Chris Miller, warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Lincoln. That means the radar will display something that may look like rain or a storm in an area if it hits on a wind farm, which radar can pick up anywhere from 20 miles to nearly 100 miles away, depending on atmospheric conditions. So it makes it look like a rain shower or a storm or something that might be there, but like on a day where we don't have a cloud in the sky, something will show up, Miller said, and that's just because of the proximity of those turbines. There are at least four projects the Weather Service in Lincoln picks up on its radar around Logan, Macon, and McLean counties, Miller said. In simplest terms, he said radar works like this. It sends out a beam of energy that reflects off of objects, with the idea to measure anything that's in the sky, such as snowflakes or raindrops. Because of the size and reflective nature of the turbines, the wind patterns found in wind farms, the radar gets a false echo of something in that area. The Weather Service meteorologists have overlays and other maps to know where the wind farms are, so they do not trust the data coming from that area, Miller said. But for radar sent out online through popular weather smartphone apps or to local television stations, it's up to the TV meteorologist or the viewer to understand the information. There's no way for us to filter that out of there, Miller said. If someone is unfamiliar and they look at the data, there can be some confusion about why something is showing up that way. False signals have become more notable in part of northern Macon County due to the completion just over 1 year ago of Radford's Run Wind Farm, a 139 wind turbine project north of Warrensburg and west of Maroa that was the first to be built in Macon County. The issue came up in early December as a major storm hit central Illinois and moved through the west side of Macon County. The storm resulted in at least 23 reported tornadoes across central and southern Illinois, according to the National Weather Service, including an EF3 tornado that hit Taylorville and destroyed more than 100 homes. Some on social media noted the rotation of the storm seemed to stop on the radar while going over a wind farm before continuing once it passed. That's an issue that comes with tracking a storm over a wind farm, said Kevin Leidy, a meteorologist for Herald and Review media partner WCIA in Champaign. Luckily, he said, most storms will not develop over a wind farm, meaning meteorologists and storm watchers can track the storm's patterns ahead of time without any interference. While false echoes from wind farms are a given, Leidy said, meteorologists and others trained in storm watching know what to look for, and it's not much of an issue when it comes to reporting on weather or presenting on television. For those who use weather apps and come across an unusual weather pattern, Leidy said that the best advice is to look at a radar loop or time lapse of the area. It's pretty easy to pick out. The wind farms don't move, he said, adding that if the weather pattern doesn't move on the loop, the viewer is likely looking at a radar interference caused by something such as a wind farm. Both Miller and Leidy said that taking in as much information as possible is also a key to getting a full understanding of current weather conditions. That can include looking at other radars, such as the National Weather Service, in the St. Louis and Chicago areas, which aren't as accurate due to their distance, but will also not pick up interference from the wind farms because they are measuring higher up in the atmosphere. If you're not very adept at looking at radar data, you have to be very careful with what you are looking at, he said. Decatur leadership. Starting pay for new city manager is $185,000. City council members are set to vote Monday on a contract for Decatur's new city manager, Scott Wrighton, with an annual starting salary of $185,000. Of note, there is no time limit to the contract. If the city council fires Wrighton, now the city manager in Streeter, without cause, he will be able to receive a 20-week severance. That benefit will expire 5 years after his first day on the job. Officials made the contract public Thursday, a day after Mayor Julie Moore Wolf and council members introduced Wrighton as a at a press conference. "We can't wait for him to actually get here and start," Moore Wolf said at Wednesday's announcement at the Decatur Civic Center. "We really want someone to move this community forward, and we think Wrighton is the right kind of leader to make that happen. It's unclear whether Wrighton would receive annual raises under the contract. Other details include a $15,000 reimbursement for temporary housing and moving expenses to Decatur. Under the terms, Wrighton must be a resident of the city within 6 months of his first day on the job. The contract also stipulates that Wrighton may do consulting work outside of his Decatur position, so long as he assures there is no conflict of interest between activities of the city and his outside consulting. Wrighton must do consulting work during paid vacations and not for any Illinois clients. Wrighton will also have 20 vacation days his first year as the city's top executive. He will earn 25 days each year after that and can carry over 1 week of vacation between years. The new city manager will also have a $550 per month allowance for the use of his personal vehicle for city purposes inside Macon County and a $250,000 monthly allowance for his cell phone and other technology. The pick comes almost 7 months after former City Manager Tim Gleason announced he would be leaving the position to take up the same role for the city of Bloomington. Officials have not yet determined Wrighton's starting date, though it will likely be somewhere near late March, Wrighton said. The council conducted candidate interviews at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel in December, and in a previous closed session the month prior, they met with the recruiting consultant from GovHR USA, former Bloomington City Manager Mark Peterson, to narrow their search. The council hired the Northbrook consulting firm to handle the process with fees not to exceed $18,500. A recruitment brochure put out by GovHR USA in the summer listed the salary range for the position as $175,000 to $190,000, depending on qualifications and experience. Under Decatur's form of government, the city manager is the head municipal executive, responsible for hiring and firing employees and overseeing all city operations and departments. Wrighton has been city manager in Streeter for more than 4 years and also was city manager there from 1987 to 1994. He was also the city manager of Kirksville, Missouri, for 9 years, on the faculty of the University of Georgia's Carl Vinson Institute of Government for 6 years, and as the city manager of a private new urbanism development project in India for 5 years. He became village administrator of Mount Zion when he was 26. It was a long time ago, but it was a good learning experience, Wrighton said. If you go, what is it's the Decatur City Council meeting. When? It's at 5:30 p.m. Monday. And where? It's in the Council Chambers, third floor, Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. In local and state news on page A3, business taps its potential. Golden Fox Brewing now open on Decatur's north side. The Decatur brewery scene continues to grow as Golden Fox Brewing is officially open on the north side of Decatur. The brewery, the third to open in the city in 4 years, is located at 2874 North Dineen Street, formerly the AIW Hall, an infusion bar and banquet center. It began operation in early December. It is open from 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday, 4 to 10 p.m. Friday, and noon to 10 p.m. on Saturday, though co-owner Kevin Ray said owners hope to expand their hours in coming months. The reception has been very good, the beer has been very well received, and the atmosphere has been very well received, Ray said. We're definitely going in the right direction. While the taproom only opened a month ago, Golden Fox is no stranger to the local craft beer scene. For over 2 years, the company was based in Iliopolis and distributed beer to liquor stores across the central Illinois area. The goal was always to one day open its own taproom, and Ray, along with co-owners Andrew Boyd and Jim Fox, moved forward with their dream last year. With Ray living in Mount Zion and Boyd living in Argenta, the former said it just made sense to target Decatur as their new home. Decatur was always our goal. Iliopolis just gave us our start, Ray said. Even with the taproom up and running, distribution will continue at local liquor stores. Golden Fox sells 10 of its own beers on tap, from traditional India pale ales and Hefeweizens to more trendy styles like New England IPAs. It also sells wine from Shelbyville's Willow Ridge Winery. Ray said owners wanted to keep their taps local, so they do not carry any guest beers or anything from the major companies like Anheuser-Busch or Miller Brewing Company. Popcorn and snacks are sold at the business, but outside food is welcome. Ray said it's common for people to order pizzas and other food to have them delivered to the brewery. Golden Fox still retained some of the cosmetic upgrades made when Infusion renovated the space. The business has made some notable changes, such as several arcade cabinets with vintage games like Ms. Pac-Man and Tapper, as well as weekly contests to try to beat the high score set by one of the owners. What Ray hopes really comes to set Golden Fox apart from Decatur Brew Works and Door 4 Brewing, along with its Northside location, is its outdoor potential. With 8 acres available, Ray said he and other owners have been brainstorming ways to really make the business a destination during the spring and summer. Along with an outside bar, a back patio that seats 40 people, picnic seating, and a small outdoor stage, the site also has a basketball court and an old softball field with working site lighting. Whether it's hosting concerts, bags, or horseshoe tournaments, festivals, or movie nights, Ray said he hopes they can bring in families, tourists, and others wanting to enjoy some outdoor activities with the option to drink. In the spring, when it's 70 degrees out, I think people want to be outside, he said. We're excited for what we're doing now, but we're even more excited to see what the spring and summer brings us. Golden Fox Brewing Company is located at 2874 North Dineen Street. The hours, again, are 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday, 4 to 10 p.m. Friday, and noon to 10 p.m. on Saturday. And on the web, it's goldenfoxbrewing.com. The phone number is 217-330-9993. That's 330-9993. Abuser gets 6 years in prison. Skylar Elcook also ordered to register as a sex offender. A Decatur man was sentenced to six years in prison Thursday after pleading guilty to having sex with a 16-year-old girl, dropping her off at her high school afterward. Skylar Elcook, 24, appeared in Macon County Circuit Court and pleaded guilty to a single count of aggravated criminal sexual abuse, a Class 2 felony. Cook was represented by defense attorney Kevin Sanborn, and in a plea deal, 3 additional counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse were dismissed, along with 6 counts of soliciting sex acts. A count of violating sex offender registration rules was also dismissed by Judge Jeffrey Geisler. Prosecuting Assistant State's Attorney Kate Kurt said Cook made contact with teenage females via Facebook, where he used the name Jay Taylor. A sworn Decatur police affidavit about the case described how he had befriended and persuaded one 16-year-old girl to send him nude pictures of various parts of her body, offering payment of between $500 and $1,000 a photo. Police officer Eric Ethel said in the affidavit that the girl later agreed to meet Cook for sex on March 5th. The girl stated that Jay then dropped her off at high school, Ethel said. Kurtz said told the court that Cook had been required to register as a sex offender after being convicted of criminal sexual abuse in 2013. Part of the registration requirements are that he provide police with a complete list of all online accounts and identities, which police said he failed to do. No defense was offered for Cook in court, although at the time of his arrest, the police affidavit quoted him as stating that he thought the 16-year-old he had sex with was actually 18. In addition to the prison sentence, Geisler ordered Cook to pay a total of $700 in fees and fines and to register for the rest of his life as a sex offender. He was ordered to submit to testing for sexually transmitted diseases, and he was banned from having contact with five teenage girls, only identified by their initials in the court order. Police, two caught burglarizing cars. Decatur. Police said they have arrested two opportunist burglars early Tuesday who were walking along stealing from unlocked vehicles on the Decatur's west side. A sworn affidavit from Decatur Patrol Officer Megan Welge said that she came across the two men, both aged 20, about 1 a.m. at West Forest and South Dennis Avenues. Welge said both were carrying backpacks and gave conflicting accounts of why they were wandering along the road at that hour. Welge said that one man at first gave her a false identification and was uncooperative, but the other described his partner as trying car doors as they walked around for about an hour, stealing loose change and other items from vehicles that were open. Welge said that one of the backpacks the men carried turned out to be stolen. The officer also recovered prescription drugs, a quantity of cash, and a charging cord for an iPhone. Both men were jailed on preliminary charges of burglary, and the one accused of lying about his identity was booked on a further charge of obstructing identification. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. The men remained in the Macon County Jail Thursday in lieu of posting a bond set at $10,000 each. Identity thief photographs lost debit card. Even though card was returned, illegal charges still made. A debit card lost and quickly returned turned out to be trouble for a Decatur woman after police said a snapped cell phone image of the card's information had been used by an identity thief in an attempt to order a $44 pizza dinner. The incident prompted a detective with the Decatur Police Department to warn anyone with a lost debit or credit card who gets it back to not only take any chances, just cancel it and get a new one, Sergeant Steve Carroll said Thursday. Even if someone turns the card in, they might have taken a picture of the front and back of it, and by the time they get home, there are some victims who find that within an hour, their bank account is wiped out. A sworn police affidavit in the case of the Decatur woman said she had given her debit card to her mother, who used it at 7:30 p.m. Wednesday at a local fast food restaurant. The mother forgot to pick up the card when she left the restaurant, but then remembered and returned within a short period of time that night to get it, the affidavit said. Her daughter, the card owner, checked her transactions Wednesday night and found that the card had been used to order pizza by phone at 9:50 p.m., but she was able to cancel the order before it was completed, the affidavit said. Officer Stephanie Vail said in the affidavit that police traced the card's use back to an 18-year-old employee of the fast food restaurant. Vail said the man was arrested about 12:13 a.m. Thursday after admitting he grabbed an opportunity to photograph the card. He was apologetic for using someone else's card to order food and advised he knew using someone else's debit card was illegal, Vail said. The man was booked on preliminary charge of identity theft, which is subject to review by Macon County State's Attorney's Office. He remained in the Macon County Jail on Thursday night in lieu of posting $2,000 bond. Carroll said the ease and speed with which sharp digital pictures can be taken with a cell phone make card copying easy for thieves, who then go shopping by phone or online. Carroll reemphasized that a card lost and out of sight, even for just a few minutes, should be canceled and replaced. Night out events offer break to families. Decatur. Winter shows no sign of losing energy, and neither do the children. Local Parents Night Out events can let the kids run around in a safe environment and give parents a chance to have time for themselves, too. The monthly outings are supervised by qualified adults and staff, providing fun activities and nourishing meals. It gives the parents an outlet where they know the kids will be safe, said Jackie Hupp, Youth Development Director for the Decatur Family YMCA. On Saturday, Hupp, the YMCA staff will be supervising various physical activities that include basketball, relays, and other interactive games. They will also have art activities and serve the children dinner. At future events, swimming will be available. YMCA Parents Night Out will be from 6 to 8 p.m. on the second Friday of each month. According to Hupp, activities will vary. They will do something hands-on. It's up to the age group and the staff, she said. The staff at the Decatur Indoor Sports Center offer similar activities during their parents' night out evenings. Anything to burn off that energy, said Kate Black, DISC, D-I-S-C, assistant manager. We want to wear them out. Although the DISC has a monthly Parents' Night Out event, the staff does not have a set date due to the partnership with Millikan University and its athletic teams, which use the facility. DISC events begin the evening with dinner, such as pizza, cookies, juice, then move on to kickball, rock wall, or games. The bounce house is usually open for youngsters depending on the temperament of the kids. The staff will provide calmer activities such as coloring books or crafts. Parents' night out is not only good for the younger members of the family, but also the older ones, staff noted. We try to cater to the kids' needs and likes, Hupp said, but we want everyone to have a good time. The Parents' Night Out events gives parents an opportunity to spend time together, or they can get things done without distraction from the little ones. The children also see the fun they can have at the facilities. Black said children many times return to the DISC to take part in summer camp programs and other classes after enjoying a Parents' Night Out. It exposes them to the facility, and they stay active, Black said. So if you go, it's the Family YMCA. It's Parents Night Out, 6 to 8:30 p.m. today, January 11th. It's at the Decatur Family YMCA at 220 West McKinley Avenue. Cost is $10 for members, $15 for non-members. Registration, call 217-872-9622. Again, that's 872-9622, or visit www.decateryMCA.org. That's decateryMCA.org. Decatur Indoor Sports Center, that's DISC, I guess, Parents Night Out, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Saturday, January 12th. It's at the DISC, 1295 West Wood Street. Cost is $15 for a resident, $10 additional each additional child, and $20 non-resident with $10 for each additional child. Registration, call 217-429-3472. Again, that's 429-3472, or visit www.decatur-parks.org/decatur-indoor-sports-center-disc, D-I-S-C. I hope you got that. Decatur-parks.org/decatur-indoor-sports-center-disc. In area briefs, Sauer ordered to stay off social media. Waukegan. A judge has ordered a former Illinois legislator accused of posting nude photos of an ex-girlfriend to stay off social media. Former State Representative Nick Sauer, on Thursday, was ordered held in lieu of $30,000 bail by Lake County Associate Judge Paul D. Novak. The judge also ordered him to have no contact with alleged victims. The first-term Lake Barrington Republican announced his resignation last year after his ex-girlfriend made the allegations. Prosecutors say the charges against Sauer stem from an investigation that revealed two victims. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated January 11th, 2019. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.